mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Do not grieve as others do who have no hope. Paul writes to the Thessalonians in today's epistle, do not grieve as others do who have no hope. After today, after this Sunday, there are only two more Sundays in the church year. After that, we will begin anew with the season of Advent. But the church year, the calendar of the church year, is drawing to a close. And in these last weeks of the church year, the scripture readings that are appointed are always what the church calls apocalyptic. Apocalyptic readings. Now, in the church, that's a technical term. It's a technical theological term. It doesn't necessarily mean the sort of doom and gloom, chaos, disaster that the word has come to mean in more popular usage. It has nothing to do with a movie or a movie title. When we talk about apocalypse or when we talk about apocalyptic in the church, we're talking about anything that relates to what is sometimes called the end times, but what really more appropriately should be called the fulfillment of time. That time when the fullness of God's hope, the fullness of God's hope will be made real. As one writer put it, that time when God will come to be all in all. That time that we anticipate or expect, when all of God's hope for the world, for us, will be made fully real, when God will become all in all. Apocalyptic refers to that anticipated time. The early Christians, of course, those to whom Paul was writing, expected that time to be soon. They expected to have that experience in their lifetimes. And that is the context for this portion of Paul's first letter to the saints. Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians that we heard this morning. That's the context, that expectation, that the fulfillment of time, that the fulfillment of God's hope would come during their lifetime. Paul is writing in response to that expectation. The Thessalonians are concerned because some in their community of faith, some in their congregation, some who had sat next to them as they worshipped God, have died before the fulfillment of time. And they're concerned about what that means. Some interpreters of this scripture passage from Thessalonians think that the Thessalonians' concern was that those who had already died would be excluded from God's hope because they were not alive to meet it. Most modern scholars think that that was not their specific concern, that their specific concern was more about community. This community that had been united in worship and in faith, they were concerned that it had been severed, that some had been separated from that community, and they were worried about whether or not they would be united again in the fullness of God's love and in the fullness of God's hope. It's to that concern, to that anxiety, that Paul speaks. We do not want you to be uninformed, he says, brothers and sisters in Thessalonica, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Implied in Paul's teaching is that grief is normal and natural and a part of the community's sense of loss. But, he says, as you grieve, grieve with hope. Grieve with hope. Live with hope. Paul says throughout his letters, live with hope. Paul talks a lot about hope. The New Testament, of course, overall mentions hope a lot, but Paul in particular talks about hope, and hope, perhaps arguably more than any other trait, is what characterizes followers of Jesus. Hope. Live with hope. Grieve even with hope. The story, Paul says, is not over. Your story as followers of Jesus is not over. Live. Live with hope, Paul says to the Thessalonians and very much to us today. Live with hope. Thinking about hope, a couple of times recently I've talked about love, as Jesus uses the term, love as it is described in the Bible, and how we get muddled when we think of biblical love as a feeling, and when we think about Jesus' command or invitation to love as a command to have a certain feeling. That's not the sort of love Jesus is talking about. Love is not a feeling, it's a way of acting, it's a way of living, it is a series of choices and decisions that seek the best for the other. The way that Paul uses hope is analogous. Paul is not telling the Thessalonians or us that we need to conjure up a feeling of hope. Paul is not talking about being cheery all the time, or sanguine, or being a Pollyanna. I looked that up just to make sure I had the right phrase. Pollyanna means excessively cheerful. That's not what Paul is recommending. He's not encouraging or requiring people to feel cheerful, to be a cockeyed optimist in everything that they encounter. It's not so much a feeling. It's a way of living. The kind of hope that Paul is talking about is a commitment. A commitment to a way of living that sees and envisions and expects a better future. A better future based on God's promise. And living in our lives in a way that expects, anticipates, and works toward that better future, which is God's hope for all of us. To live in anticipation and working towards the fulfillment of God's hope. To live as people who see that hope and to desire to make it real in whatever way we can in this life, on this earth. The fullness of God's hope, we pray, awaits us. We are called to live in anticipation of that hope and work to make it real in whatever way we can. God's hope for all of us. To not be paralyzed by despair. To not become inactive out of despair, even grief. To not become inactive in despair at all of the trouble that we see in the world around us. But to anticipate and work towards that promise that God has revealed to us that is God's hope. To live with this sort of hope is to say, what we see is not all that we are going to get. In this life, as well as the next. In this life, as well. No, to answer the perpetual question, we are not there yet. We're not there yet. More lies ahead. The story is not over. Persevere in hope. Persevere in hope. Persevere as people committed to the presence of God's hope in this world. Persevere as people committed to the spread of peace in the midst of violence. Persevere as people who affirm that reconciliation overcomes estrangement. Work to make that real in our lives and in the lives of others. Persevere as people working for God's hope of justice in the world. Distributive justice. It's different from retributive justice. Retributive justice is that fact that actions have consequences. Distributive justice is God's hope that all receive the bounty of his gift. Be people who are committed to that hope and working in whatever way we can to make that hope a part of our lives and a part of the lives of others around us. Hope is a way of living, committed to a better future, committed to a future that seeks to fulfill and make real God's promise in our lives and in the lives of others. And how are we to find or to live with that sort of hope? Paul says it over and over again. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. He says that in today's reading and he says it many times in his letters. Encourage one another. The capacity to live in hope, to live hopefully, to act with this hope. The capacity to live that way is found and nurtured here. Here in this community of faith. It is in community that the transforming power of God is known. And we are enabled to seek and become more than we ever could on our own. To be people of hope. The power for that transformative life is found here as we encourage one another, as we hold up and strengthen and guide and support and encourage each other in our lives of hope. Encourage one another and be encouraged to live in hope. Encourage one another and be encouraged here. To live in anticipation of a better future and in ways that make that future which is God's hope for all of us, real. Amen.